In this second year in our liturgical cycle, we have the joy to read at Mass all through the year the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is my favorite of the four Gospels because it has an immediacy about it. It's short. It's punchy. One of the words that Mark uses time and again is the word immediately. And so, as we hear in the Gospel this evening, immediately he did this. Immediately he did that. Straightway he did this. Jesus comes across in Mark's Gospel as a man of action, a man who knows exactly what he's supposed to do, and a man who goes straight for it. And in this Gospel, at the beginning of the church year, and at the beginning of the Gospel, we see right up front who Jesus is, and that he knows who he is, and what his mission is. And he steps out in the synagogue, which is the church of the Jews during his time, and it says that he teaches with authority. Not like the other religious teachers, but with an authority. And if you do a little Bible search of the word authority, you find out that this means quite a lot. Because later on in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And St. Mark and St. Paul says later on in the New Testament that every power in heaven and on earth has been subject to him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And St. Paul indicates that the powers above and the powers below mean the worldly powers that we can see and also the invisible powers that we can't see, the angels and the demons. In other words, Jesus is presenting himself as an authority figure that is a cosmic authority, a universal authority. And it registers on the people as they hear him speak. And it's a good reminder to us about who Jesus really is. You see, in our world today, as it has always been, people would like Jesus to be a lot more comfortable than that. They're quite happy for Jesus to be a religious teacher, a wise man, a spiritual mentor, someone who goes out and gathers the little lambs and carries them home and brings the children up on his knee, a healer, a man of compassion, all of these things. But Jesus comes right at the beginning of Mark's Gospel and he's presented as a cosmic authority before whom all heaven and earth will bow. And the people sense that something awesome was going on because St. Mark uses this extreme language again. He says they were astonished. They were astounded. They were amazed at this person who was in their midst. Furthermore, not only does Jesus preach with authority, he teaches the truth with authority, he proves that he has authority over all of the powers in heaven and earth because he goes on to perform an exorcism. And an exorcism was to cast out a demon that had infested this poor man's body, soul, and mind. And to show that Jesus has this kind of authority, he takes authority over the demons. And the people in the congregation recognize that authority. Now, when you hear this story, if you're like me, you've heard exorcism and healing stories of Jesus before, and perhaps you think, oh, well, back then they were always casting out demons. No. No, believe me, the day in the synagogue when Jesus had this confrontation and a demon-possessed person displayed the demon within him, the people in the synagogue that day would have been just as shocked and amazed and horrified as if somebody here this evening were suddenly to roll around and portray all of the horrible signs of demonic possession. It was a shocking event. It was astounding. And Mark tells us so. And the other beautiful thing about Mark's Gospel is that the fathers of the church tell us that Mark's Gospel is written based on the preaching of St. Peter. Because Mark was a companion of Peter and Paul, And the fathers of the church say he recorded and based his gospel on the preaching of Peter. So we can almost hear Peter's voice preaching to us from so many centuries ago, saying, I was there in Capernaum when this happened. And in fact, Capernaum is where Peter lived. And if you go on the parish pilgrimage to the Holy Lands this September, we're going to go to Peter's house, because the archaeologists have discovered an ancient house in Capernaum on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, which they believe was Peter's house because an early Christian church was built there. And so Jesus was there preaching in the synagogue when this amazing event took place. So what else can we tell from this event? Well, Jesus does an exorcism. And an exorcism is to cast a demon out of a person. If you've seen that film, The Exorcist, you know it can be pretty horrible. And of course, the movies about these things always dramatize them and sensationalize them and make them to be as scary and horrible as possible. But I can tell you, I have witnessed an exorcism, and it is real, and it is terrifying, and it is something you do not want to see or experience. But with that in mind, we have to consider for a moment how the devil is involved in the world and how he may be involved in our lives. And there are two extremes. One extreme is to say that the devil doesn't really exist. He's a symbol. He's a literary symbol, a character that represents evil. And maybe he's almost a comical figure, wearing red pajamas and having horns and carrying pitchfork. The other example is all the way to the other end of the extreme, where we see the devil everywhere, behind every sofa and under every bed and the root of every problem, where we say, oh, it's the devil here, it's the devil there, it's the devil everywhere. And in fact, the truth is in the middle. The devil is a real spiritual being. C.S. Lewis said, one of the devil's greatest tricks is to convince people that he doesn't exist. Well, he does exist. And the demons are also real. They are spiritual beings. They are angels who have fallen into the darkness. The devil is not the opposite of God. The devil is the opposite of St. Michael the Archangel. That's why we have a prayer to St. Michael the Archangel for the spiritual battle. And so, demons and devils are real, but how do they interact with the world and with us? Well, they don't have a body. They're spiritual beings. And therefore, they try to interact in the world through our souls and through our mind and through our imagination. And they operate on four different levels, each one getting worse. The first level is temptation. All of us experience temptation in one way or another. Very often at a low level, to do bad things and selfish things, and we yield to these things sometimes. But when there is a demonic aspect to the temptation, it is usually something which, if we have a conscience, will shock us, because it's especially dark, especially gruesome, especially violent, perhaps. And yet we feel drawn to it and attracted to it. And yet we feel revulsed as well. If there's that kind of temptation, chances are there's a demonic aspect to it. The next level is where we actually yield to those things. And this level is called obsession, where we start becoming obsessed by that particular evil and we want to go back to it again and again. And this is when an addiction begins to develop. This is when an obsession begins to develop about that dark side. And at that point in our lives, very often people will begin to, what we say, split off. They will be nice and clean and acceptable on the outside, but they have a secret sin. They have a shadow side. They have a side to them that they keep secret from everybody else. And they become obsessed with that more and more. And the third level after that is called infestation, when that area of darkness in our lives actually begins to be taken over by the demonic spirit and we don't have control over it anymore. And that particular area belongs to him, not to us anymore. If we get to that level, if we have that aspect in our lives, this is what confession is for. Confession is a powerful spiritual remedy against the devil. And you can talk to your confessor, and you can tell him these things and these concerns if you have them. And the confessors all have particular prayers that they use to be able to help us to battle against the evil in our lives. The final stage of the devil's influence is called possession. And this has two levels. The first is visible, where horrible phenomena are shown in the person's body and voice, and they're obviously taken over by a malevolent spirit or intelligence. And then the last level is when that malevolent spirit then begins to hide within the person's personality and psyche, and their exterior goes back to what it has always been, except that now they're totally dominated by the evil. Priests see these things. The church is here to do what Jesus did in his day, and that is to preach with authority and take authority over evil. These kind of evil presences are present in our lives, and the church is here, and the priestly ministry is here to be able to do something about it. In every diocese, the bishop appoints an exorcist who's specially trained in the areas of psychology and psychiatry and spiritual direction to be able to know what happens and what to do when this unusual occurrence takes place. Happily, in our world today, it's very rare to witness demonic possession, but it's very common for us to experience temptation and obsession at the lower levels. And if we have these problems and concerns, we bring them to confession, and we bring them to be able to be cured and healed and delivered from these things. I would therefore share with you just a few thoughts about what we do in our ordinary Catholic life to deal with the devil. One of the things is we have holy water. It's true, the devil does not like holy water. And you might say, well, that's a superstition. Well, I witnessed an exorcism and I saw the effects of the holy water, and it took effect. So there's holy water in the narthex here and downstairs. You can take it home and you can use it to bless your own homes. You can invite the priest around to your home to bless your home. The other things which are especially powerful is to pray the rosary. Satan hates the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the reason he hates the Blessed Virgin Mary is because he was beaten by a little girl. He was humiliated by her. And he's a proud spirit, and he can't stand that. And so praying the rosary is a sure defense against evil. And of course, saying our prayers, reading the scriptures, enacting the works of mercy in the world, praying regularly, coming to Mass, and receiving the body and blood of our Lord is a way that we put ourselves in Him and He in us. Because He is the one who has the authority over evil. He is the one who keeps us in the light, and He is the one who keeps us walking on our path to our heavenly home. Amen.